Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a subway nitrogen.
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 40, Juxtaposition. May 31st, 2014. I'm your host, Sarah, and today I'm podcasting from a sunny spot along the Delaware River, near the Delaware Water Gap in Pennsylvania. This week's episode will include the following segments: The Front Porch, Yarn Lover at Large, The Back Porch, Double Happiness, and Ever-Expanding Skill Set. I hope you enjoy the show. You can find show notes for this episode, photographs, and links to all of the things I talk about on my website, yarns@yinhu.com. You can also find me as Sarah Pomegranate on Ravelry, Twitter, and Instagram. And the Yarns at Yinhu podcast has a Facebook page. You can like that page and get updates about the latest episodes and other news. This week, I heard from a new listener, Marianne H., from Redwood Meadows, Canada. Also, The Yarn Goes On, Jan Marie, and Quilty Kim Knits 2 left comments about the photos of Yinhu on the Ravelry page. I also heard from Maggie Vianna and Animal Nut, and I frequently hear from these two listeners. They're very dedicated and very generous with their comments on the Ravelry board, and I'd like to thank them for that. Have you joined the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry? You really should, so you can participate in the conversation, share photographs, recipes for the Bulk Bins cook-along, and other news, and meet a lot of really great people. In particular, you'll want to visit the Ravelry group page to post your plans for the Asymmetrical that's coming up in August. This is a craft along for an asymmetrical garment or accessory. The starting date for the crafting will be on August 1. But right now, there's a planning thread up, so you can let us know what you'll be working on. You might also consider looking at the designs of Simone Eich of Woolwork, because she has generously agreed to give away 5 of her patterns. So if you look at them and any of them interest you, please link them when you post in the planning thread. And I will use that to do a drawing for the winners sometime in mid-July. You don't have to knit Simone's patterns to participate in the craft along, but she does have some really good ones. You might also be wondering, well, what's the attraction to asymmetrical designs? I've been very attracted to asymmetry recently, and this week I thought a lot about why, and what would be the compelling reasons for someone to knit or crochet or sew something with asymmetrical design or structure or even asymmetrical use of color if they tend to like everything balanced and symmetrical. And I think there are a couple compelling reasons. One is that asymmetrical lines in garment and accessory design draw the eye up and away or down and away from the body. And this optical line can have a very slimming or slenderizing effect because your eye is moving away from the body as you look at someone who's wearing something that's asymmetrical in design. And the more quickly your eye is pulled off and away from the body, the more your brain registers that as there's not as much body there to be seen. So the optical effect is to be slimming. Another thing is that asymmetrical design, particularly on women, is a kind of a juxtaposition. So we think of a woman having feminine curves. And then when you add an asymmetrical line, it's usually a stark edge. And the very close position of the curves and the straight line create a juxtaposition that is very pleasing to the eye. It can feel very artful when you're looking at someone who's wearing a garment or an accessory designed that way. Asymmetrical designs can be flirty and fun. They can also be very edgy and very deeply dramatic. So I encourage you to maybe try a Ravelry search and just put asymmetrical in the search box and see what you come up with in terms of patterns. Look at some of the things other people have created and how it looks when they're wearing it. I think in particular for asymmetrical design, seeing the garment or seeing the shawl just pinned out and blocking or draped on a clothesline or something doesn't really point to the effect it might have to wear that garment. So it's important to look for photographs of people wearing these things so you can really consider whether that design would look good on you. So that's the Asymmetrical, which starts in August, but the planning thread is open now on the Yarns at Yinhu Ravelry group. So you should go over there, you should join the group, and you should check out the thread. Yarn Lover at Large and the Front Porch. Last weekend, over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, Samuel and I took a little bit of a road trip. Samuel's band, the Bovine Social Club, performed at Cafe Lena in Saratoga Springs on Friday evening. They had a great show. There was a webcast of the show live, and a lot of people tuned in that way, and there was a very enthusiastic crowd at Cafe Lena as well. So after that exciting show, we packed up and drove about 2 hours near where my sister is living, near Killington, Vermont. And it was very late. It was actually very early in the morning, I think 2 a.m. by the time we arrived there. So the next day we had a leisurely morning, and then we spent the entire day with my sister and her boyfriend on the camp property that they are farming and on which they overwintered near Killington, Vermont. They are living off the grid, and this was the first time they had wintered over in this remote location. In a previous episode in the fall, in October, I had an interview with my sister Jessie on the show, and one of the things she was talking about was their preoccupation with having enough wood for the winter, and they did very well in that regard. They had moved their wood stove to a new location in the house, and it made it much more efficient, so they used less fuel. And also, just before the deep winter started, they had a solar project completed at their house. So they do have some solar power now. And that was really nice because it meant that their day didn't have to end basically at sundown with everything else that was happening afterwards taking place by candlelight or by headlamp or something like that. So they had some electric lights and they could use some appliances. Limited, of course, but it really changed their day-to-day life on the mountain. We had a wonderful visit with them. It was a day of beautiful sunshine, big fluffy clouds and then some pretty heavy downpours in between. And just before sunset, a gorgeous rainbow spread right across their view. So that was really nice. Our other sister Laura was there with her husband John as well. And we just enjoyed a visit. We had a fire outside, we had some great food, and I worked on some projects while I talked with everyone, and it was really good. I hope to visit Jesse again for a more extended period this time with my mom at the beginning of summer when I'm finally done with school. While I was in Vermont, I took the opportunity to visit Green Mountain Fibers in Rutland, which I have passed many, many, many times. Every time I've been there, I know that there is a yarn store in Rutland, and I never seem to have enough time to go in and make a visit. So I did, and I was very lucky that the proprietor, Kathleen, was there. No one else was in the shop, and we were able to spend a bit of time together, and she showed me around and she helped me pick out some yarn for upcoming projects. So if you are traveling through the area or if you live near Rutland, Vermont, I highly recommend Green Mountain Fibers. It's a friendly, very well-stocked yarn store, and one of my purchases was something I had not seen anywhere else. So I had printed two patterns, and one of them was the Shield Maiden Shawl by Emily Estrada, and I wanted to knit this shawl, but I didn't have enough time to do hand spun for this project because I wanted to get started right away. And I had looked through the yarn I have on hand, and I didn't have anything that would work well for this shawl. It's Viking inspired. I wanted some yarn with some real sturdiness to it, maybe a little bit rugged. And no, it needed to have a very powerful color. The shawl is almost like a talisman, I think. It's supposed to give you strength. It's supposed to be imbued with these fortifying properties. What I picked out is unspun Icelandic wool, and it's really interesting. It's quite crunchy, I guess you could say, but it's not really scratchy, and the yarn is incredibly warm. I say yarn, but it's not really yarn because it's a very thin strip of roving. It's unspun, it's unplied, and you just knit with it. I like using bamboo needles for this. I was concerned that maybe some of the cables in Emily's pattern wouldn't show up very well because this isn't a round yarn with a lot of stitch definition. But you can see the cables, they look really good. And I have completed the entire cabled border of this pattern, and then I've picked up all of the required stitches, and now I'm knitting the body of the shawl. Unspun Icelandic yarn is also a great value at 300 yards for $8.50. And Kathleen of Green Mountain Fibers said that it comes on giant spools, and at the shop, you actually wind off little discs of 300 yards each, or maybe they could be packaged at different weights. I don't know. But the ones she had available were all 300 yard packages, and then they're labeled at the shop and put up for sale. If the yarn breaks, which it can, I would not say it's fragile at all, but it can occasionally break apart like a piece of roving. All you do is put the two ends together, get a little friction, rub it between your palms, and you have spliced it. You don't even need to wet splice or spit splice this yarn. You can just rub it together between your palms and it felts together. And you don't even notice there's a join there. So that's the yarn. It's in an icy winter blue. And I'm using it to knit Emily Estrada, Chain of Fools, of the Fibertown podcast pattern called Shield Maiden. On the back porch is a completed skein of yarn. When we got back from Vermont, I had Monday, the holiday, to spin on my porch, which is one of my favorite things to do. So I had my spinning wheel out there and I did all of the chain plying of pollination. The fiber came from Patricia of BZB Fibers. It was 4 ounces, a little over 4 ounces, I think, of a mixed BFL, and it was dyed in a gradient. So it went from a bright yellow with some specks of pink into a shockingly green, pollen green color, and then into more of an aquamarine color. So I chain plied that to preserve the gradual color shifts and came up with 353 yards of a chain ply. And it is a sport weight, I would say between fingering and sport weight. So this will go into my stash and I will think about a project to knit with this. I like pairing my hand spun yarn with commercial yarn or indie dyed yarn for projects. It kind of extends the possibilities of what you can make with it. And often I pair a colorful hand spun with a more muted or neutral purchased yarn. I'll keep thinking about what to make with that. Double Happiness. Speaking of BZB Fibers and Patricia, our next episode of Yarns at Yinhu, episode 41, will feature an interview with Patricia Brasino of BZB Fibers. She has an Etsy shop, which I've mentioned many times and I've linked to in the show notes. She also has a blog, and she will be teaching a felting class near her studio in California at the end of June. So if you're traveling that way or you live near the San Francisco area, I believe, you might look into that class and have a chance to meet Patricia in person. BZB Fiber was one of the first fiber purchases I made when I learned to spin. It's been just over a year since I learned to spin and bought a spinning wheel. Patricia's fiber always comes very nicely packaged, very nicely prepped, with a little sachet of lavender and her very nice tags telling you exactly what is there. I really enjoy her sense of color, and I like exploring the possibilities of what can happen with hand spun, different structures of yarn and different ways you can ply it, and then what you can do with the finished product. So I'm really interested in sharing some of Patricia's experience and her expertise with Yarns at Yinhu listeners. She has been very patient and very kind, and we have been exchanging audio files via email and internet over the last couple of weeks. So I hope you tune in to episode 41 and the interview with Patricia so you can learn more about her and BZB Fibers. Ever expanding skill set. Well, it's the last day of May, and I have finally found something interesting to do with amaranth. It's taken all month, and earlier in the month, I reported on being not very happy at all with some of my creations. And wanting to purchase some amaranth flour so I could try baking with it. I've managed to do that, and I have a recipe to share with you. But first, I'd like to announce the winner of the Bulk Bins Cook Along thread for May. Now, there was not very high participation because I think a lot of people were maybe a little bit intimidated by amaranth. Or maybe they heard me talking about it and they were not moved to try it. So I think it's particularly fitting that this month's pattern prize goes to Seine One, and that's spelled Seine, numeral one, who is Kathleen from Colorado and who is intrepid in the kitchen. And she sourced some amaranth and she tried an amaranth polenta with wild mushrooms. It sounded very similar to the dish that I had made. She wrote on the thread that her husband's comment was, the color matches our plates. It ended up being this, pretty dull brown color, influenced by the mushrooms in the dish, I'm sure. But nevertheless, she gave it a try and she even offered some encouragement to other folks on the thread. So, congratulations, Kathleen. Send me a personal message and let me know what Ravelry pattern is interesting to you, and I will get that right out to you.
The amaranth recipe I came up with and have been enjoying today is a recipe for amaranth ginger muffins. They employ amaranth in three different forms: in flour, in soaked overnight amaranth that I folded into the muffin batter, and popped amaranth tossed with cinnamon and sugar as a topping for the muffins. These also have an ingredient, candied ginger, which is something I really enjoy. It has a very strong flavor, and depending on how much you enjoy ginger, you can add a little bit or a lot of finely diced candied ginger into these muffins. The recipe is posted on my blog, and I hope you give it a try and enjoy it as much as I did.
Every month for 2014, there's a new ingredient from the bulk bins that's in the spotlight. And at the end of each month, I choose a winner from among those who have made posts to the Ravelry thread. And I unsticky the threads, but I never lock them. So you can continue to post recipes, links, and photographs of things you try, even once the months have passed. In June, the ingredient in the spotlight will be anything you desire. So I would like to know about the bulk bins you shop. You might even take a photograph of the bulk bins in your local supermarket or health food store. And you can purchase and cook with or just snack on anything you like from the bulk bins for the month of June. Some things you might try are cereals, trail mix. Maybe you buy coffee from the bulk bins. Maybe you buy peanut butter. Some people have nut butters available in bulk at their supermarket. Maybe you even buy honey or maple syrup in bulk. So, whatever it is for the month of June, give it a whirl, make a post, and let's revive and regenerate. And we'll start with another specific ingredient for the month of July. You can post to the Ravelry thread, as I mentioned. You can also use hashtag bulkbinscal on Instagram or Twitter to mark your photographs and your links. And I look forward to munching along with you for the month of June. Thanks so much for listening. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves are down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stones to sand. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire. Just like Linda Curtis, burn out on a wire. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Yeah.